You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hope everybody had a great and wonderful and amazing happy 4th of July to all of you out there. My name is Braden Gall, filling in for Paul Feinbaum today. Honored to be here, hanging out with you guys, talking college football. The greatest sport in the greatest country on the planet. America's pastime. No, not the NFL, not baseball, not boxing. Nope, it is college football, the greatest sport on the planet. You can get to me on Twitter in that sewer if you want to, at Braden Gall, at Feinbaum as well. 855-242-7285. And obviously, one of the biggest conversation points to me right now, as we are a week and a half away from Media Days here in my home city of Nashville, Tennessee, is the complete uncertainty and entertainment value of what college football, in my opinion, will be this year in the SEC and elsewhere. Dominant powerhouse programs with major questions at quarterback. The end of an era in the SEC with no divisions going away next year. Two new teams and a new playoff format. 2014, the first year of the playoff, to 2023 is the first era of playoff football. And what will it be known for? How will we define it 20, 30 years from now when we're telling our grandkids about when the first playoff came around? What are we telling them about? What are we going to remember? Because the game is going to change. And I think this year we have unprecedented stories. We have a potential three-peat for the Georgia Bulldogs facing all the distractions in the world that come along with success. No one's three-peated ever. Michigan has not won a national championship, a full national championship, in like 60 years. Are they the best team this year? If J.J. McCarthy is a star quarterback, maybe. But they've dominated Ohio State. Ohio State has giant questions at quarterback. Texas, USC, Florida State, are they quote-unquote back? We just have and the middle class in the SEC is fascinating. Someone is going to break out and be a star. Is it K.J. Jefferson? I would argue he's already a star. Is it someone for Ole Miss? Is it Joe Milton at Tennessee? Is it Spencer Rattler at South Carolina? Is it Connor Wigman at Texas A&M? I have no idea. Is it Devin Leary at Kentucky? There are so many unknowns with this conference, even though all the teams seem to be very, very good this year. I think almost every team could be in a bowl. 14 SEC teams could make a bowl game this year. 12 or 13 of them could have a winning record. And four of them, maybe a fifth one, could challenge for a playoff spot if everything breaks their way. We also don't know what Alabama is. We know they're very good. We know Saban's the greatest coach. We know 1-85, their roster's as good as anybody's. But we don't really know what they are. If you're a Bama fan, you are claiming Bama will be back. If you're not a Bama fan, you're saying Georgia's the new dynasty. LSU is the defending division champion. You've struggled on the road, and you lost your best two players in Will Anderson and Bryce Young. You can make an argument for Bama to be just as much of a three-loss team as Bama is undefeated. So what's interesting to me is that we don't know about so much stuff in this conference and in college football. And to me, that makes this season, just like 2013, the last BCS year, that ended in the most bonkers way anyone has ever imagined, with the Iron Bowl and the Florida State-Auburn national title game, just extraordinary. Just an extraordinary end to that season. No matter what fan you are, no matter what team you love, I think we're in for something like that this year. The end of an era, going into a new SEC with a new playoff format, no divisions, so many questions and so many potential stars and so many potential busts. We just don't know who's it going to be. 855-242-7285. How do you define the college football playoff era that we just went through, that we are about to finish this season? 855-242-7285. Sean from Alabama. Sean, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
Listen, let me real quick, let me address the last caller that called. He's a Bama fan. He said that we won that game against Georgia 2018-19, whichever one it was, by luck. I wanted to remind him Georgia was up on us 13-0. We went into halftime and started two of the second half and outscored Georgia 26-13 in the second half. 10 in the third, 10 in the fourth, 6 in overtime. We dominated that second half. Two or three touchdowns in one half of football. Nothing luck about that. Purpose of my call is I wanted to address the Georgia fan, and let me give these guys flowers first. You know, I don't want to seem like a hater. I played the game. I want to give these guys flowers. These guys have won back-to-back national championships. Hell, it's hard enough to win one, much less two back-to-back. They are the preeminent program right now in college football. I have no problem saying that because I appreciate winning. Winning is extremely tough. Let me get their flowers. But let me also say this. We as Bama fans, you know, we can't just put it on the team, man. It was our fault as well. We have become whine and cheesers. And what I mean by that is we didn't cheer loud at games. I can remember in 2015-16, Bryant Denny was one of the top three loudest stadiums in the country. Now, if you think our stadium is loud, go to Tennessee. It's going to hurt your feelings. Go to Florida. It's going to hurt your feelings. Go to Texas A&M. It's going to hurt your feelings. So we got to be better as fans, man. We got to be hungry again and get off of this high horse. It's okay for the king to get knocked off every once in a while. We need that. We need that cold glass of water. But to the Georgia fan, just know this, brother, and I don't want to sound like an excuse maker, but I played this game. I know how hard it is to win. We played you in the SEC championship, and we dominated you with an all-American SEC receiver named Jameson Williams, with an all-SEC receiver named John Mechie, with Josh Jobe, with Jalen Armour Davis. We dominated you, bro. Dominated you. We played you 2 weeks later without either four of those guys, either 1,000-yard receiver. We played you and still had an 18-13 lead on you and with 9 minutes left to go in that game. So in the words of Todd Gurley on Twitter, when we didn't make the college football playoff, once the team from T-Town didn't make it, we knew we were going to dominate. You know what's coming. You can say what you want about Bama almost lost. We played 5 road games on the road that a lot of SEC teams wouldn't make it through, and we almost lost those games. We won. We lost 2, won the rest of them. So we coming, brother. You know, we coming. You can deny Alabama. You can look over us, make all these excuses about the quarterback. We are coming, brother. And at the end of this season, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people, and it won't be Alabama fans. Mark my words, you heard it here first. Roll Tide, my friend, and I thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, baby. There you go, Sean. Midseason form. I appreciate that. I love an Alabama fan attacking another Alabama fan to start the call. That's just awesome. It's my favorite thing about doing this show. And by the way, Al called and said, Nick Saban has to run the ball more than throwing the ball for him to win. I went back and checked real quick during the break. Since the national championship season of 2009, Alabama has only thrown the ball more than running it one time. And that was 2021, obviously Bryce Young's Heisman Trophy year, 571 pass attempts, 548 rushing attempts. Now that, of course, includes any pass attempt that would turn into a run via sack, so you have to keep that in mind. But otherwise, Alabama has run the ball more every single season than they have thrown it. So I'm not sure, maybe there's a percentage point in there that matters. But first of all, I love how he gives flowers to Georgia. It sounds like he then proceeded to take his dog for a walk and let his dog do some damage to the flowers is what it sounded like. Because there was a lot of excuse-making in there about injuries and players getting hurt. I mean, you won the game in 2017. You won the game. That's it. You won the SEC championship game in 21. You dominated. Georgia won the national championship in 2021. So I think that's just about it. The question for Bama is what are they going to be this year? And they're a great roster with a great coach. I don't know if they're a great team yet. We just don't know. Braden Gall in for Paul here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Troy from Idaho. Troy, welcome to the show. How are you, Troy?
Hello. I also like Al's call, so I'll give him a big roll tide for bringing it. And But on in 2020, we may have had more attempts in running. Actually, probably more. Yeah, more attempts in running. But I doubt the yardage. I think Mac Jones to Devontae Smith was probably our bread and butter in 2020 in the COVID year.
See, as a Heisman voter, real quickly, as a Heisman voter, I voted for Najee Harris that year. Like, I thought he was the more important player in 2020, if I'm getting my years correct. Now, Alabama attempted 425 pass attempts in 2020. They ran the ball 477 times. So they ran the ball 50-plus more times. Now, again, that could balance out with sacks. But I thought Najee Harris was the thing that made the offense go that year. That's just my opinion.
I remember the second half of that season and just being amazed by Devontae Smith.
That's
during
true.
That COVID
year.
But
no, he was great. He was great.
I'm interested in this new setup for the SEC. I really am, with no divisions. And I wanted to ask you what you thought would be the first repeat rivalry game in an SEC championship. Would it be an Iron Championship, an Egg Championship, a Red River Championship, or a Cocktail Championship? You could have a Georgia, South Carolina. You could have an LSU, Arkansas. I mean, what do you think what would you like to see, and what do you think will be the first, other than LSU, Alabama?
I was going to say LSU, Bama is probably the easiest one, Troy. I appreciate the call. That's a great question. Because if you're talking true rivalry, then you mentioned all the big ones, and Florida's not there yet. I guess it would probably be Alabama, Auburn maybe, but Auburn's not there yet either. Don't get me wrong, I think the Egg Bowl is probably my favorite rivalry in maybe all of college football, but I assure him, heck, not picking Ole Miss and Mississippi State to play in the SEC championship game with Texas and Oklahoma. Texas and OU's not a bad pick either, but they've got some learning to do when they get to this conference. I think their defensive lines are going to learn that life's a little different in the SEC. Georgia, Florida, Bama, LSU are the two most likely rivalries, but even LSU-Bama wasn't a great rivalry until, you know, Nick Saban sort of turned both those programs into national championship. Like, LSU wasn't even, like, from 1972 to, like, Nick Saban, it was 30 years of not really being a factor in the conference. LSU-Bama was not a huge rivalry during that chunk of time. So, I don't know, that's a great question. True rivalry, Florida-Georgia probably makes the most sense. Georgia's the most dominant program right now, and Florida has the most appearances in the SEC championship game, not called Alabama, if not the most ever. So I think historically you might lean Georgia and Florida, but Alabama-Auburn's pretty good too. That Alabama-Auburn would be the one I would be rooting for, just because can you imagine? They're going to play in the Iron Bowl. 1 week, and then a week later, they're going to play again for the SEC crown. Probably both make the playoff, too. Oh, man. The no divisions is going to be great. 855-242-7285. Now, if we could just get the conference to vote and agree on 9 conference games so we can protect 3 rivalries a year and have more good football, that'd be even better. 855-242-7285. More of your phone calls. Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Braden Gall in for Paul, the Paul Feinbaum Show. We are entering what could be one of the most interesting summers, preseasons, in college football history, during which college football will change forever. Last year of SEC divisions, last year before expansion of the playoff and the Big Ten and the SEC as well. 855-242-7285. How will you define the original college football playoff era? Let's go to Larry. Larry, you have the floor, my friend.
Hey, brother. Yeah, the past playoffs, we dominated pretty much. But I think it's great that they're going to give everybody a chance. So we just want to kick everybody's ass. You know, we don't want just a few. Y'all bring them. But I'm going to tell you, Justin Haynes is going to win the Heisman Trophy for Bama. I'm going to tell you that right now. But Georgia's got institutional control, whatever you say, because they're losing control of their players, man. They're going crazy. And Kirby knows it. They got a lot of problems in Georgia. And when we go this time, and I know we no need whining about what happened, yada, yada. But I want to tell you something. Georgia's got the easiest schedule. They got two hard teams on there, man. Come on. But that can hurt you because you go playing them lightweights and you ain't used to them heavyweights getting in there in the trenches with you. It's going to hurt you in the end. And you know that. Mm-hmm. They're going to be so lackadaisy when Bama, it's going to be like Vietnam incoming. We're going to be all in that air. We're going to be incoming in the end zone, baby. And they know it. Georgia's, hey, look, I keep up with recruiting, and we are kicking, man. Our offensive line is 1,600 pounds. And you know why? Because we're going to make the ass, like Saban said, we're going to make the ass want to quit, baby. And that's what we're going to do. Roll Tide, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. We do appreciate you. Roll Tide. No question. Just a true freshman winning the Heisman Trophy. True freshman, huh? All right. Dude looks good. For the record, Justice Haynes looks completely legit. From what I hear, Justice Haynes is completely legit. Robert from Alabama. Robert, welcome to the show. What's up, dude?
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up, man?
Yeah, listen, I'm an Alabama fan, and I strongly believe that this team has a strong chance to make the college football playoff if they can. I think they will figure out who the quarterback is going to be. I strongly believe it's either going to be Ty Simpson or it's going to be Tyler Buckner, the transfer from Notre Dame. I don't have a lot of confidence in Jalen Milrow. I know he's got a lot of ability, but he's only a one-dimensional quarterback. Showed that against Texas A&M. I think the young receivers that came on at the end of last year will do better. And I'll tell you, Tommy Rees coming in as offensive coordinator, I think it's a game changer because I think he's going to be a lot more creative, not just in the passing game, but in the running game as well. And then defensively, I have a lot of confidence in Kevin Steele. And also, Tulane McKinstry is probably the best corner in the country. But it all starts up front. Alabama's got to have a pass rush. And not only that, they have to do a better job of stopping the run. But the schedule for Alabama, I have to point this out. a lot of big games at Bryant-Denny Stadium. I mean, Texas, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Tennessee, LSU, and Alabama's not lost a home game since 2019. And not only that, but the two toughest road games are Texas A&M and Auburn, and those are very, very difficult environments. And Kentucky is a sneaky good team. They played them after LSU. And then people want to talk about Georgia. All they got is Tennessee to worry about. But I think there are four other games on Georgia's schedule that people need to talk about more. I think one of them is Ole Miss. I think the Ole Miss game comes a week before Tennessee. And Lane Kiffin does not play Georgia very often. And Georgia, their defense is very good. But this offensive line, that running back, the SEC freshman of the year last year, is going to be a handful for them to deal with. I also think that the game against South Carolina early, I think, could pose some problems. Remember, South Carolina beat two top 10 teams last year, and they're going to come in battle-tested, having played North Carolina. And also, I think, and I'm not a big fan of theirs, but Auburn at Jordan-Hare, I mean, look, Hugh Freeze is the one his last three head-to-head meetings against Kirby Smart, where he was the defensive coordinator at Alabama when he was at Georgia. And I'm not an Auburn fan, but going to Jordan-Hare is very difficult, and it will be Georgia's first road game because they played so early this year. And then Kentucky the week after, I mean, and Florida's a rivalry game, and Missouri game, a close game last year up at Columbia. I mean, there's going to be a game where Georgia ends up losing, and it's not just the Tennessee game. I don't know who's going to beat them, but there's so many distractions going on in Athens right now that somebody is going to take Georgia down. We just don't know who it's going to be, and they will lose a game before Tennessee.
That's an excellent call, Robert. There's a lot to digest there. It could be Carson Beck's first road start against Auburn, right? I think Georgia and Bama are two of the top three teams in the country. I think that maybe I might put Michigan in there, but I think you could argue Bama and Georgia are 1 and 3 in my personal rankings. Right now, Georgia has the better quarterback situation. Georgia has the better offensive line. Georgia has the better receivers. Georgia has the better defensive line. Georgia has the better secondary. Georgia has the better linebackers. Georgia has the easier schedule. I still think they are playing in Atlanta. The question is, for Alabama specifically, are they 11-1 or are they 12-0? And if they're 12-0 and they're both 12-0, then they're probably both getting into the playoff. If Alabama has gone on the road and lost to, let's say hypothetically, Texas A&M, because A&M gets up more for the Alabama game than any other game they will play all season, and they lose that game, and they're 11-1, then you cannot afford to lose to Georgia in Atlanta. I don't know if Georgia's going to lose, but I agree with your point, Robert, which is that there is drama, there is distraction, there's a new quarterback, there's a new coordinator, there's lots of departing veterans off the defense. And, oh, by the way, no one's ever three-peated for a reason. I just think it's way more wide open than people realize. And some of that is what's going to happen around the SEC in the national championship race. Is there a superstar at Clemson at quarterback? Is there a superstar at Florida State at quarterback? Is there a star? Is J.J. McCarthy capable of becoming a star at Michigan? Does Ohio State have a star quarterback? Does Quinn Ewers become a star at Texas? One or two of those things might happen, and if they do, they could be challengers. We're going to talk to David Hale next on the show, and we're going to ask who around the SEC could challenge Georgia and Alabama and LSU for a national championship. We're going to do that next. My name is Braden Gall. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio.
Thank you. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
If you are still patrolling the Twitter sewers, Elon sewers, if you are still patrolling it and still living in there, bathing in those sewers, the way I still am bathing in the sewers, I'm going down with the ship. It is my drug of choice. And you are a college football fan like me, like I assume all of you listening, then there is no reason that you are not following David Hale at a David Hale joint on Twitter. Braden Gall in for Paul here on Paul Feinbaum, and the best Twitter thread writer in the business. Also a great writer in general, too. But David, how are you, sir? Happy 4th. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm not sure that that's a resume builder for me. I'll workshop that a little bit and see where we go. By the way, if anybody has an invite to Blue Sky they want to offer me, I'm more than open to checking out if I can get a lifeboat on from Twitter. I'm open to that.
We're going to launch a Discord channel, just you and I, big guy.
all right.
No. Top line of the resume, best Twitter thread artist in the business. No, it's actually, we joke, but like genuinely you do great work. You write up really interesting stuff. You've got great commentary about basically everything college football and the ACC. But I wanted to ask you, because we're talking, I want to narrow in on some ACC topics in a second. But we are entering what I find to be one of the more interesting summers preseasons that I can think of. We have major powerhouse programs across college football with quarterback questions, with coaching questions. We've got, you know, is so-and-so going to be a star at Florida State, at Clemson, at Michigan? But we're also entering the final season of an era of college football that's never going to be the same again. We're getting rid of divisions. We've got expansion coming. We got playoff that's going to change. How will you remember this era of college football from 2014 to 2023, this first round of playoff that we've got? How are you going to remember and explain it to your grandkids 25, 30 years from now?
You know, that's a really good question. And I almost feel like we're in and have been to some extent this weird sort of college football, maybe college sports, but particularly college football purgatory kind of where, I mean, the day that they launched the playoff, and I can remember doing these like radio interviews then of like, what's the future of this four-team playoff? And it was like, well, expansion, that's the future. We knew from day one. And it was just sort of this waiting game. I think you know, the last few years, really, particularly since COVID, have been such a massive shift in so many ways. And as you point out, I think rightfully, it was an era in which I think we're coming to terms with a lot of it now, NIL and I think, again, you rightly point out there's some guys that are really high-profile NIL guys. I think the quarterback at Texas, and Quinn Ewers is probably at the top of that list of guys who kind of have put up or shut up seasons. And I really wonder what happens when we have a massive high-profile NIL bust, what that means, what the market with all of that looks like. And then, you know, it has been an era dominated basically by five teams, and that's Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. They have accounted for the vast majority of college football playoff bids. Well,
Oklahoma had a down year last year by a significant margin. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, they're all changing quarterbacks this year. Clemson's coming off a couple of years that you would say are down by their standards. And you wonder, like, are we – I mean, I think there's a valid case that we've had a changing of the guard from Alabama to Georgia as it is at the top. But I think there's a real question of, like, you look at some of these teams that are bubbling up now. Michigan has made two straight playoff appearances. Florida State is getting a ton of hype this offseason. TCU obviously last year doing what they did. Are we going to see some sort of new teams bubble up? And to me, that's the most exciting part of what playoff expansion could be, is that we had a really sort of this era of the four-team playoff was a really narrow window of college football. There was very few teams that truly had a chance at the playoff consistently. I would hope that, you know, maybe this waters it down a little bit, but also offers more college football enthusiasm to a wider berth of people.
Yeah, I think you might take the shine off of like the top 8 or 10 games by like whatever percent, right? Like 10%. But you're going to add significant value to like 10x that. 10 times more games each year are going to be worth more. Tennessee-Kentucky becomes a potential playoff game, or NC State and Louisville becomes a potential playoff game, or Iowa-Wisconsin becomes a potential playoff game because so many more teams are vying for a spot. Now, in our current structure, we have four teams. David Hale joining us here from ESPN. And the question I have is, I am starting to doubt Georgia for a number of reasons. It's starting to pile up all the reasons that I think that a three-peat is just very, very difficult, and there's a lot of reasons why I'm starting to search for another team. And outside of the teams you're talking about, let's say Ohio State and Alabama, let's take those off the table. Who is the and I'll take USC away as well, just because we know they have a star quarterback. Who is the team that is going to have the guy turn into the star? Is it J.J. McCarthy at Michigan? Is it Jordan Travis at Florida State? Is it Cade Klubnik at Clemson? Is it you mentioned Quinn Ewers at Texas? One of these guys is going to hit, and if they do, that team could be the team we're talking about at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you ask Clemson fans, I think there's a lot of optimism that all problems have been solved with the hiring of Garrett Riley, and he's going to have Cade Klubnik ready to go. And until the last 2 years, I mean, Clemson was a regular playoff and championship contender, and what I think people forget is, had they not blown a second half lead to South Carolina in the regular season finale last year, and then gone out, given what they did in the ACC championship game against UNC, I think Clemson would have been an easy playoff team last year, despite all of the troubles. So I think that's probably a very good place to start, because you have history and you have genuine reason for optimism. I cannot get on a Texas is back bandwagon yet. I know there's talent there, and I know Sark has supposedly turned the page, but we've seen these conversations so many places, and I just didn't see a ton, really, after that Alabama game when he got hurt. I did not see a ton from Quinn Ewers that I thought, like, yeah, this is the guy. Now, maybe he takes a big leap from first year as a starter dealing with injury to this next year where he does have a lot of supporting pieces. But I don't know. I'm still skeptical on that one. Florida State is sort of similar for me, not in that I'm not skeptical, because I do believe in the guys that they have. And I think Jordan Travis is fantastic and genuinely one of the great college football stories from where he came from to where he is. But I think it's been so fascinating to watch the way that Mike Norvell has essentially embraced the target on their chest and said, yes, we should be a top 10 team. Yes, we should be in the playoff conversation. They've got two games in September, the opener against LSU and the week four game against Clemson, that I genuinely, if you win both of them, great, but that's setting up a massive amount of, like, riding high ego that Florida State didn't deal with well in the past. If you lose one, or God forbid both of them, what does that mean for the program? Like, this is just such a fascinating year for a team like Florida State. And, you know, you mentioned Michigan. That's another one that I almost, like, I don't know. Have we seen their ceiling? Because I don't get the sense that there was, like, a whole lot more that Michigan could be doing that they haven't done. And maybe it's just sort of the style of play leads to that. That's probably the same thing we said about Georgia for a lot of years until they did it. So I don't want to underestimate what they can do at Michigan. But, you know, of the teams that you mentioned, Clemson's probably the one that feels like it is maybe the closest or the safest bet anyway.
What's fascinating, and I will admit, David, I am all in on the Florida State hype train. I think Jordan Travis is going to be able to attack LSU secondary in the first game. You know, the Clemson matchup is what it is, but they're going to get a potential rematch. So all you got to do is win the right one. You don't have to win both. You just need to win the right one. If they rematch in the championship game, isn't last year's Florida State team sort of the argument for the playoff? Like, if you lose a couple early, but you figure it out, a young team comes together, and all of a sudden somehow you figure out how to win 10 games and you get in as like a 10 seed, but you're a Florida State brand. Isn't that the team that could make the run? Isn't that the argument for the 12-team playoff?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we will, you know, there has not been a ton of upsets in the playoff. There's not been a lot of outsiders, as I mentioned, I mean, aside from TCU this past year. I think that if you look back over the history of the last decade or so of college football, there's more often than not been that team that you think at the end of the year, boy, I'm glad they're not going to be in the playoff because I don't want my team facing them. You know, you think back to Johnny Manziel and A&M in 2012, and Lord knows nobody wanted to face them. That Stanford, the Bryce Love year, and Christian McCaffrey year, both of those, like, that was a team. USC had a year that was kind of like that. And Florida State's a great example last year of, like, you see this in every other sport constantly. The team that gets hot at the end and sort of figures it all out and then rides that wave to a championship. It just doesn't happen in college football for the obvious reason, and that we don't open that door to them very often. I think if I'm a traditionalist, I don't know that I want that necessarily. I think that's sort of the beauty of college football. But I also think it's great to see great players play in big games on the biggest stages, and we should see more of that. I'm all for that.
David, always a pleasure, my man. Thank you so much for your time. Keep writing those threads. And if you follow him on Twitter, at David Hale Joint, of course, you'll be seeing that Florida State is largely the best at everything. So I'm just gonna keep riding my Florida State bandwagon, okay?
I'm with you. I'm sort of trailing behind I'm rubbernecking with the bandwagon right now, just to make sure that there's still room for me to jump on at the last minute.
There's always space, my man. David, thank you so much, dude. Appreciate it.
See ya.
Always a pleasure. David Hale there. That is the question. That is the question. Which one of the he explained it perfectly for each one of them. Michigan, Clemson, Texas. I think you could say Washington even there with Michael Penix. You could go Oklahoma with Dylan Gabriel. You can go Kansas State, defending champs, by the way, in the Big 12 with Will Howard. Klubnik at Clemson, Travis. Like, which ones is Jaden Daniels the reason that Alabama and Georgia aren't your SEC champion? Who is going to be the superstar? One of them is going to be. The question is, who is it? 855-242-7285. My name's Braden Gall. Your call's next right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So normally, I hate lists. I hate listicles in the summer, especially. But coming up top of the hour, the top 10 football coaches in the country, based on stats and data and analytics, it's a fact. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. Who are the top 10 coaches? You will be shocked at who are the third and fourth best coaches in the SEC. Top two, no doubt. But you will be shocked at this list, and we're going to discuss at the top of the hour with the creator of the matrix that ranked the coaches, 1 to 133, at who the third best coach in the SEC is. You'll be shocked. Braden Gull in for Paul. A couple of minutes here. Let's go to Brandon from Georgia. Brandon, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. How are you?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Happy 4th.
Yeah, happy 4th, man. What's your name again?
My name is Braden. Close to Brandon, but not quite.
Braden, okay. I'm having to listen to you on Sirius XM, so I'm not real familiar with it. Well, not, but anyways, besides the point, I wanted to address the cat that called in earlier, and he was giving props to Georgia, and I do respect him for that. But he also referenced the 2021 SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, he did.
And to anybody out there, and this goes to Larry, this goes to Sleepy Joe from wherever he's from in Alabama, the Legion, all of them. That was a throwaway game for Georgia because there is no way that Georgia is going to dominate the way that they dominated all season long up until that game, and then including after that game and including Alabama in the national championship game. That was a throwaway game from Georgia. The talent gap used to be that big of a difference when it come to Georgia and Alabama. And it took me a few years before I realized that. But now Georgia is right where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no competition, man. It's none whatsoever.
Georgia is
on their way to a three-peat right now.
Okay, all right, Brandon, I appreciate it. Look, Georgia's number one. Georgia is the most complete team on paper right now. They're the best team in college football on paper. Strange thing, though, about sports. Strange thing about college football. Those games are not played on paper. But right now, Georgia's the best. They have better offensive line than Alabama, better quarterback than Alabama, better receiving core than Alabama, better defensive line than Alabama, better linebackers than Alabama, better secondary than Alabama, easier schedule than Alabama. Funny thing about football, though. Nah, doesn't happen on paper. Happens in real life. And there's a lot of distractions right now in real life for the Georgia Bulldogs. What makes Saban elite, what makes Saban the greatest of all time, is he hasn't had the fall from grace that Urban Meyer, Pete Carroll, and everybody else has had in college football. He hasn't had it. Can he maintain? We'll continue to discuss next on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.